Hey, Get Real listeners, it's producer Diane, and no, this is not an ad. This is an introduction to give you some context to what you guys are about to listen to. So basically, we wrapped season one, a crazy season one, an amazing season one, and we are giving our hosts a very well-deserved vacation as we, you know, amp up towards a season two and what that looks like, and, you know, maybe there'll be some format changes or new introductions, or it's just we're just trying to make this show an even bigger and better version of what it already is, and what it already is amazing. Peniel, BM, and Ashley have all worked so hard to, you know, provide you guys with these amazing episodes and conversations with these guests, and it's been so fun. And it's kind of crazy to look back and think, wow, 52 episodes, that's, I feel like we literally were just in our old building yesterday filming the first episode, and everybody was kind of awkward and kind of staring at each other and couldn't get their words out right. But now there's such an ebb and flow. They are such pros. And clearly with the amount of people we have as repeat guests, that they're doing a great job. And people are having fun, not just listening, but participating in these conversations. So while the hosts are off, you know, on their little summer vacay from the show, we wanted to kind of reel it back and show you guys some of our favorite moments with guests from the show. Moments that we think the guests either, you know, got real about their own life and their perspective on things, or it just was a moment where we'll remember forever and it'll be like a running joke, or it just showed a color of the guests that maybe you wouldn't see otherwise in other places. So yeah, we really hope you enjoy this week. It's all about the guests getting real. Bye.
All right, welcome back to another episode of welcome. Get Real, everyone. Woo! Hosted by me, Peniel of B2B.
Me, BM from Card.
And me, Ashley.
Yes, and we are going to be getting honest about all the ups and downs of young adulthood, but from our perspectives. But I feel like more from like, more than like outside pressure, do you guys ever think like you pressure yourself too much?
I think so. Yeah.
I feel like you do. You said you're in your head all the time.
I think mine probably, and probably a lot of people who tend to make it in whatever they do, it's a fear of failure. And then I think for me, it was also, I gave up a job and I had promised to my parents. I was like, if I try this, like I have to make this work somehow.
Oh, word? What were like, you trying to be before?
Well, I had a job. It was as a consultant. And so like my starting pay for my first year out of college was good. It was good. And so it was giving that up to try to become a singer.
Right.
Which like my mom flipped out. She was like, that's the worst thing I ever heard.
Damn.
You know, she's like, you're going to throw away 4 years of college education and a job with these benefits.
You were done with all that?
I graduated.
That's like the worst. That's like the worst nightmare for like an Asian
parent. I know. It's not even while you're in school you want to leave. It's you're done. You have everything in the bag.
Everything. And then now she got bragging, right? She's like, you know how much my son's going to make in the starting year? And then you're like, I want to get that up, mom. It's like, no! My bragging rights!
Yo, that, my mom was like, she was not happy. But I think that's why when I came out here and I quit my job and everything, even to like 2-3 years ago, she's like, you should just go back to your job. You should go back to your job. Because I think she sees the pressure that the industry and I put on myself.
Right.
So it's like this thing of like having to prove myself. I think also I was solo from the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like there was, never had a team member. I never had somebody I looked up to.
True.
And people wrote me off a lot. It was like, oh, he can't really speak Korean. And his singing style's not right. And he thinks differently. So like, just write him off. And so I remember having to prove myself over and over. So having to go find the songs or write the songs, having to go meet with producers or writers and whatever, right, like network to be like, hey, please use me.
Yeah, like in the beginning, a lot of people just knew you as like an MC.
Yeah.
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 I remember like a lot of my friends that were like interested in him, they were like, oh, you know, like he like MCs and stuff. I was like,
reporter.
Yeah.
I was like, you know he sings too, right? They're like, really? I was like, yeah. That's why he came to Korea. I thought he was this MC. I was like, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, but now everyone knows.
Yeah.
Now
but it's I think it was also that pressure of like having to, once you get a job, how do you outperform that so you can become a singer?
Right.
Or
right,
how
right,
you know, right. Public perception. True. And then once you are a singer, how do you get to a point where you could do the music you want to do?
True.
So for me, it's always like, okay, leveling up as myself to get to what I want to do and where I want to be. I think that's like my internal pressure always.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Next one is from the user Chowder138. Oh, that sounds good.
I love clam chowder. I love clam chowder.
The one in the bread bowl or whatever. Oh, you know, it's
fire.
I'm hungry.
Me too.
All right. Anyone else hate the greet one another part of church? Every church I've been to does it and I dread it. Yes, I'd like to meet these people. No, I'd rather not be forced to. I'd really rather not greet the few people I know and then stand around like an idiot while I wait for everyone else. Any tips on how not to be awkward at church? Am I alone here? I can't be, right?
Wait, they said greet everyone? You got to greet everyone, she said?
Yeah. They have this thing where like before the sermon starts, it's like, okay, everybody stand up and greet at least five. Say hi to at least five people.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like say good morning to your left or right.
I'm completely with Chowder right here. Yeah. I'm always the one standing awkwardly. Like I don't know anybody.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, hi.
So I sit down.
Yeah. No, literally it's like to the two people like right next to me, I'll be like, good morning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I just like sit down. I'm like, yeah. But yeah, I get that.
I never understood why they made you do that either.
I think they're just trying to get you to be like closer to everyone,
for like
maybe?
Communion,
like
maybe.
Communion?
I think so in my church where I went to, they didn't have they did, but it was more like if there's a new person that came for the first time, they would make them stand up by themselves and introduce themselves. You know what I mean?
The worst is when stop doing that. I'm gonna just say it right here.
The worst is when they bring them up to the podium and they're like, introduce yourself.
Snap, they did that, bro.
I'm like, hey,
but you know what the craziest part is? You know what the funniest part is? When I was a new person, I hated it. But every time there's a new person,
you like it?
The new guy.
Yo, that's an anxiety attack for introverts waiting to happen, man.
Oh no!
I'm gonna tell you right here, yo. You gotta stop doing that.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie.
Because like the entire congregation looks back at the person that's sitting right there, and everybody like
you almost hear
the, welcome, Chanyeong.
You almost hear the heads.
I remember.
Oh man!
Because I used to be pretty introverted when I was in America.
Uh-huh.
I think I've learned to be like more comfortable and whatever, and I'm kind of extroverted now. I still have like introvert moments, but man, whenever I went to a new church and they did that, I was like, I'm never coming back here again.
This is the first time and this is the last time. But
I was like, I don't think I need to say hi because I'm not coming back. It's like, I hated that, but any tips on how not to be awkward? I don't know. I think just think of it this way. It's awkward for everyone.
Yeah, it's not
just you. It's awkward for everyone. Yes. So
the answer to your question, no tips.
I don't think there's any tips.
Yeah, no tips.
I mean, unless you're extremely extroverted.
Yeah.
I think it's awkward for everyone. I think, No, you are not alone. I don't think there's any tips.
Well, I'm just like picturing a super extroverted person standing up doing like a spin and be like, hello.
but every once in a while.
Yeah.
It's like, hi guys, my name is nice to meet you guys. It's like, oh dang. It's like, all right. But
hey,
you know,
imagine that's the person that goes before you, like, and you're the new guy.
Yeah,
like,
and then you're the…
you know what I mean?
Yo, that's
She's
the
so
worst.
Bright, like, oh, hi.
That's the worst though. If you ever have to go, like, you know.
Sorry, we got no tips for you, Chowder.
Maybe. I'm getting mad anxious. Man, I don't know. Just be confident. I said that without any confidence.
Be confident.
I don't know. You know, a lot of people do the thing where they like imagine like the people aren't people. you know, like they imagine them as like potatoes or something. You know, or like ducks, like rubber ducks or something. Maybe try that. I don't know. I really don't have any helpful tips. Yeah. I'm just spitting anything out right now.
Me neither. That's a hard one. I feel like that's, you know, it's nerve-wracking for everyone, but it could definitely break the ice. You know, it definitely breaks the ice. Like, for other people to approach you and say what's up. So,
because there's always at least like 3 or 4 super extroverted people at church. So then after you get up and like you say hi after service, they'll probably come up. They'll be like, oh, like, hi, where are you from? Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, so,
they might end up being one of your best friends too.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
I don't know about you. I'm very like protective. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, with us, safe with us, we're just friends and like, you know, we'll joke around, we'll talk a bunch of smack and whatever. But like, say I hear like someone got violent with you guys. Mm-hmm. Ooh, it's on sight then. Oh. You know, it's like run up on them like real quick. And, like, So, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I hope you guys feel protected. Any man that lays a hand on you?
No, but like I hate going to clubs because… Oh.
This is something you could talk about.
Yeah. I hate going to clubs because I just want to have a good time. I want to dance. I want to drink. But guys are like staring you down.
And touching you.
Yeah. Trying to give you signs. And they like touch you. And when you touch me…
What happens?
What happens? No mercy. I will get you kicked out of the club. Or I'll fight you. Like don't… You are not invited. Like don't touch me without permission. And so, yeah, I almost got in a fight at a club.
Yeah. Joan doesn't need protection.
Yeah.
Other people need protection from Joan.
At the same time, I'm like so much smaller than this. No, I was pretty like… I was like the same height as this guy.
I don't speak up.
You don't speak up?
Yeah, she just…
It's okay.
Yeah.
Tell me with your eyes. I'll let these speak for you, Ashley.
We got you, Ashley.
Telepathy.
I'm scared of what they're going to do to me back.
But what are they going to do back? Like, if you cause a scene, what can they do?
I don't know. Even when people like are catcalling, because this is really… It gets really bad in New York.
Yeah, you're right.
And you know, some of my friends would just flip the bird on them or just say curse them back.
Well, I haven't heard that in a while. Flip the bird.
And I was always kind of like… I just walk really fast. And even at the club… So, they'll touch me, like they'll touch my butt, you know, they'll touch my waist. And I'm just like, I feel really uncomfortable. And I just give them a death stare, but I feel so helpless.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. No, but that's why I almost got in a fight that day. The guy didn't touch me, did he?
He touched you too.
But he touched you first, and I saw that she was uncomfortable.
He touched the both of you?
What?
He got kicked out.
Yeah, he got kicked out.
He got kicked out. And I was like, what's the worst that can happen in this scenario? Like, if he tries to do something, all these people are going to see it. And so, like, I think it depends, like, where I am at. Like, the confidence comes when I'm like, oh, everyone here is witnessing this. I can do this. But if I was, like, alone in, like,
one-on-one, in an alleyway,
I would be like,
like, run.
Yeah, run.
Run.
Wait a minute. I've been looking for a champagne bottle.
What's that?
Wait. Run. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you guys definitely… I feel like there's… Is that why you guys travel in groups to the bathroom?
Oh, like when we're drunk or when we're at the bar?
Or just in general. You guys always travel in groups.
It's just more fun.
Yeah, bathroom selfies.
Bathroom break.
You know, like sometimes you have to wait in line. You don't want to wait in line for the bathroom by yourself.
Yeah. And we talk crap about you guys while we're
in
there.
Yeah, we're like, oh my gosh, Matthew. Like,
I had to hold the champagne bottle. Really?
Yeah, really? They made me go there? Yeah.
Damn. So I didn't really… Of course, I know about the whole, men being men and all that stuff. But,
I feel like we had that like pressed onto our brains as we're a kid. Like, we would have older heads or like,
yeah,
or even our parents, they'd be like, oh, like that's not the man thing to do. Like, oh, men do this, men do that.
Yeah,
we were like, oh, okay, so like I'm a dude, so I gotta do this or I gotta do that.
Right.
Yeah. Get that like kind of like brainwashing. We think that's the norm at the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's so different now, though.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah,
it's like that's not really pressed on you as much as it was before.
Yeah, now we look at it and it's like, oh wait, that's okay. Like,
yeah,
I thought that wasn't okay, but
yeah. I mean, men crying is an example.
Right.
They say like when you're young, like,
like yeah, men don't cry.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Men don't cry.
Yeah, there's a lot of pressure.
It's like men don't cry. Like, but I'm crying.
Yeah,
but I'm crying.
I'm crying.
Something's leaking from my eye. I don't know what it is. I can't stop.
Sweating from my eyes.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, like Ashley, again, I'm seriously curious as what you think about this.
What?
Because you're one of the stronger women figures in my life.
I'm not strong.
Is that after it came out of my mouth? It sounds crazy, but like seriously, you always kind of hold it down when we're together with the homies too.
Right? Whenever she's put on the spot like this, she always says she's not strong. But you give her a little topic where she gets heated about. She's like, "Oh, I'm gonna beat that ass! No, I'm gonna beat that ass!"
I'm telling you, I'm always ready to get hit by her too. I know what I'm getting myself into.
He says he's scared of me because I remind him of his older sister.
It's probably
they have a similar energy.
It's probably because she's an older sister as well.
I don't know. Well, my brother never shows his emotions. He's like that.
I mean, that's a big thing, though.
That too, though. Yeah. I feel like it's part of that toxic man. Like, it's like, oh, men, like…
Shouldn't show their emotions.
Yeah, their, like, vulnerability.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm
that's
like…
stupid.
If something sad happens and I'm like, did you cry? And he's like, psh, no. Oh,
men don't cry.
He's like, no. Sorry.
Like, it's okay to cry. But then my dad, at the same time, on the he's very, very emotional.
Right.
He watches documentaries on animals and cries and stuff.
Right.
He's very sensitive.
I'm right there with him.
So, and he's very open with his emotions too. He like drinks by himself and then he'll cry in the shower. When I left, when I left America, he did that.
Really?
Like he drank like five bottles of soju by himself and then he cried.
In the shower?
Yeah. My dad, my brother said he heard him in the shower. Because I guess my dad didn't want to cry. Like he didn't want my brother to hear. So he went
take
in the
care,
shower.
Ashley.
And he was
it's not
crying.
Tears. It's just water
it
from
so
the faucet.
I cried when I heard
like
that.
He's shooting a music video in there.
Yeah, I know.
It's like,
let it's like, the water so, run down with his tears.
Before the shower too. Before the shower too. Just like… Bye, Ash. Take care of yourself. You hear the door closed. Like,
My baby. My baby.
So my dad and my brother are very different in that way. They emotionally, they're very different. But I feel like they are both pressured by having to take care of the family.
Okay.
Like being the man in the household, you know?
Oh yeah,
that
too.
Makes sense.
Like taking… Like the man has to be… Has to be the one who holds it down in the family.
Right.
Not for every household. I feel like women are so… They're coming… They've been coming up and they have come up so far in like… Just hitting on guys in whatever field they are
I feel like they always have been. But like now they're getting recognized.
Yeah.
I know plenty of career women who work and the guys are at home taking care of the baby and things.
That's what I want to do. Because I love kids.
Where the sugar mom is at.
Where the sugar mom is at.
I want to be that woman.
The sugar mom.
I want to be the working mom.
Huh?
I want to be the working mom.
Oh, you don't like kids?
I do like kids, but I want to like, you know, be a career woman.
Okay.
Because you don't want that responsibility. I want a family, but I don't want that responsibility.
You changed the diaper.
Dude, that might be more tough staying home and taking care of the kids and doing household.
Low key, I feel like that would though.
You cook?
I love cooking.
Really? What are you good at?
I love cooking.
What do you What's
your specialty?
My specialty? Well, I just love cooking what I love to eat. So it's, I like cooking steak. I like cooking kimchi jjigae.
Kimchi jjigae.
I love like bokkeumbap. I just very simple things, but like rustic things.
But like those simple things. You can make them in so many different ways. And people have so many different recipes and like they like add stuff. Kimchi jjigae is one of my favorite foods.
I'll make you some. I make a mean kimchi jjigae.
Really? Yeah. Have you ever had friends over trying your food? Did they say it was good?
Yeah, they said it was good, but well, hopefully it really was. I like food, so I like cooking.
Do you like cook for yourself every day then?
Not every day, no. The mess is… I love cooking. I hate cleaning.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, so…
Yep.
Maybe you should get a dishwasher as a Christmas. But that's the thing.
In Korea, they don't really have dishwashers. They don't really have ovens either. I like baking too.
I know. I love baking. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get a house with an oven.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, yeah. All right, tight.
Let's go have a baking party.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Tight. All right, you guys have a bake-off. I'll be the ref. I'll
be the judge.
Yeah, I'll be the judge. Okay. What do you like to bake?
Well, I haven't done it in so long, but in New York, you know, like just like a lot of cakes and brownies.
Just to bake your own cakes?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah.
And then put the cream and then.
Yeah.
Dang.
It was easy. I didn't make all the mix. Like, I just bought the ready to bake mix and then, like.
That's not no baking then.
Oh, he said that not no baking. He put you on blast like that.
Okay, first of all.
One woman bakery just went down.
That's
the
not
train.
You. That's Aunt Jemima. Okay,
oh,
that's not.
Aunt Jemima, he said Aunt Jemima. Oh, that's he put you on blast.
What? You have to get the scale out. You have to get the all-purpose flour.
Mm.
You have to get the frosting. Okay, did you make your own frosting?
No.
No?
Oh, okay. You make your own frosting!
Mm-mm.
That's true. I admit it. That wasn't baking. It was just having fun.
No, I'm kidding. Mix. But
I put it on the spot so hard.
Okay, Sam. I have high standards now. I have high expectations.
Well, I had high standards from the beginning. I don't know what you're doing with cake mix.
Okay, well.
if you're talking like this and your cake doesn't taste as good as we are expecting.
That's the thing. I've never made a cake before though. So I would actually love to learn.
Oh.
What did you bake then?
I made brownies. I made cookies. I like making cookies. And then…
Do you make your own cookie dough?
Yeah.
Oh. From like flour?
I just got the ones where you like take it out.
No. Oh girl. No.
He said, oh girl.
He
said, oh girl. He's looking at you with disgust right now.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm a disgrace. I'm ashamed.
But no, it was a lot of fun baking. But I hate the mess.
Yeah.
Like just getting things everywhere. And
you could hire someone for that.
Oh, just like cleaning?
Mm-hmm.
I could, but that's…
I mean, you hired someone to teach you
how to play a game.
That's true.
She's a Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, isn't that the big like bowl looking thing?
Yeah. The big bowl looking thing?
Yeah. Intensity and loyalty are especially important to Taurus rising natives. These are highly sensual people who prefer the comforts that a one-to-one, stable partnership offers.
Mm.
Although Taurus rising individuals value harmony and calm, their partnerships may be on the passionate side.
Oh, would you say you're a passionate lover?
I guess.
I don't even know. Taurus rising natives are often very comforting to be around. They have a stability about them that is soothing and an inner harmony that is attractive.
There's seriously no bad things.
I have no inner
about Alexa.
Did you guys like take it out or something?
Yeah. I mean. Wow. Okay, so like since you know, you know a lot about horoscopes, out of everything about Sagittarius, which one would you say is like most accurate for you?
Oh, the most accurate out of the readings we've just had.
Or even like not included here, but some stuff that's like known about Sagittariuses, because I don't know anything.
Definitely, there's the thing with Sagittarius that you constantly always have to like be doing something. Being stuck in one place doing nothing is like the worst for Sagittarius. Because I hate that.
I feel like I could be a Sagittarius too.
You are rising, so this is how I see you.
Ah, right. Oh, you're right. I am a Sagittarius rising. Mm-hmm. Okay, that makes sense.
And then you're a Sagittarius moon, so I mean…
Oh, yeah.
we all have a Sagittarius. We all a bunch of Saggies.
Saggies, except for Peniel.
Except Peniel.
He's not in the club.
Oh my God.
Saggy Club.
Saggy Club.
All right. Now we have the MBTI, also known as Myers-Briggs Type Indicator.
Is this who made it? Myers-Briggs? Mr. Briggs, is he the one who…
Mr. Briggs.
Mother and daughter. Ah, mother and daughter. Yes. Mother Myers and daughter Briggs. Yeah? What? I want to know history on them. Like, what were they thinking when they made this?
Didn't you say you took a psychology class?
I did. Oh. I don't remember a Mother Myers or daughter Briggs.
Mother Myers did not think enough.
Yeah, I might have slept through a couple of the lectures.
Oh, no, no.
Okay, we'll start with BM.
Yo.
He is an ENFJ-T.
I'm a protagonist. I'll save your life.
Okay, so these warm, forthright types love helping others and they tend to have strong ideas and values. They back their perspective with the creative energy to achieve their goals. Ooh. Huh. Protagonists are natural-born leaders, ooh, full of passion and charisma, with a natural confidence that begets influence. Protagonists take a great deal of pride and joy in guiding others to work together to improve themselves and their community.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. Mm. The interest protagonists have in others is genuine, almost to a fault. When they believe in someone, they can become too involved in the other person's problems, placing too much trust in them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sounds like, he said what? He said what? Let's go beat his ass one time. I'm just kidding.
Luckily, this trust tends to be a self-fulfilling prophecy as protagonists' altruism and authenticity inspire those they care about to become better themselves. Oh, but if they aren't careful, they can overextend their optimism, sometimes pushing others further than they're ready or willing to go.
Oh, I've experienced that. Yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah. Wow, I kind of have to like push the lines of like when I'm trying to inspire someone. Like sometimes I'll get the vibe. It's just like, all right, dude, I don't want to. You know, like, can you stop? Because I'll start getting repetitive sometimes. Mm-hmm. I'll catch myself. I'm just like, okay, I already said this. I shouldn't say it again. If it isn't, you know, if they're not on board with me, then it's all good.
Oh.
What grade are you in if you're 12?
If you're in sixth
grade? No, I mean
sixth grade, right?
No. Sixth grade. Oh, when you're 12.
Yeah, when you're 12 years old.
Sixth grade is 12, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was probably 12 or 13 then.
Okay, yeah. Same as me then.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a funny story for me. It was because…
Let's hear it.
We were on a field trip. You know, field trips, right?
Oh, snap.
On the bus.
It was at the field trip.
You know, buses,
on
you know.
The bus.
You gotta be in the back. So it was my buddy. He had his own… You know, he had his girlfriend.
And then I had my girlfriend.
And then, you know, I see them doing their thing. You know, and my hormones start kicking in.
Yep.
And I'm curious.
Uh-huh.
And then… Why?
She's like shocked right now.
How'd you instigate it?
Huh?
Like, how'd you like get it to that point?
We're kids, right? I don't know. So I'm just like… You want to try what they're doing? Yo, but no. It doesn't end there, man. Like, okay, so…
It looks fun. Do you want to see?
Yeah, exactly.
Look what they're doing.
But then I totally get what he's saying because it's like a new world.
It's
crazy, right? And then the teacher comes up, back of the bus.
Snap.
Everyone starts going quiet. And then he just comes up and I'm like, and we just freeze like this.
Dang. And then, got caught.
Yeah. And then he goes and he's like, what are you guys doing? Right.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, they did it first.
You ratted them out.
Yeah. The whole bus just started laughing, like mad laughing, right? And then everyone started making fun of me about that like the whole year. Yeah.
That's cute.
When was your first time?
Mine was really late. I had my first kiss in sophomore year of high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because before then, I had boyfriends, but they called me prude. I was too prude to do anything. Prude. So I was really shy. So they tried to make out with me, but I was always like… I just had my mouth shut. No, for real. I didn't know how to kiss.
You're imagining
it
right now. Huh?
Because she was like… I was like… she like… shut her lips real tight.
So yeah, even though I had boyfriends in junior high school, whatever. It was always just like a peck. And then in sophomore year, I had my first real boyfriend. Uh-huh. And the first kiss was at like a train station. But it was like snowy.
Oh,
it was snowing and it was just white everywhere. But
that's
it was
cute.
Cold. It was also cold.
Uh-huh.
And, in New York.
Mm-hmm, he dropped me off. He was trying to drop me off home. So I had a train station near my house. So we went there and then we just… Yeah.
That's a movie.
Kissed.
We just kissed?
Yeah.
Who instigated it? Was it you?
Of course he did.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of course.
It's obvious.
When you're that young. When you're that young.
Of course he did.
I don't know, because some girls are very forward about that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wasn't.
I remember who it was with, but I don't remember when.
Dang. So both of you guys were bad.
Yeah, it wasn't
the best. I think ours were pretty good, huh?
Pretty good, man. Back of the bus.
Yeah, in the movies. Yeah, that was a new world.
I don't remember, like, when it was or where it was. I know, like, the general, like, time period. But I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Daniel doesn't remember his first love. He doesn't remember his first kiss.
I don't think I had a first love. If I had a first love, wouldn't I remember it?
I guess. Don't they say you can never forget your first love?
Yeah, they do say that. Yeah.
So I guess Peniel didn't have his first love yet.
Yeah.
So you, after 3 years, you moved to New York.
Yeah.
To model.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Did you have any expectations?
Dude, yeah, I had crazy expectations. This is, see, I told myself, just don't expect, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like, because when, like, I thought it was kind of a dream come true. And now, like, in hindsight, I think maybe that's what people felt like when, because I didn't have that experience. But when you guys were in the States or something and you auditioned for something or you guys were like, oh, I'm going to Korea, I'm going to be in a group or I'm going to be a trainee. Like, maybe it might have been the same feeling. I don't know. But I thought like, oh, I got luckily like discovered by a casting director and I got signed to like, I guess it's like, let's say YG or SM or JYP of like the music industry. I got that of the modeling world. Yeah. Right. Ooh. So I was like, damn, like it's popping. Like, like life, like, this is what I suffered for. Like life is going to like, I'm going to be walking on rainbows. And what do you know?
It's a whole new monster.
Bro, whole new monster. Like Godzilla. I love New York, by the way. Mm. I really do love New York and I want to go back. And I didn't move back thinking I was going to move back. I was just visiting and then COVID and blah, blah, blah. But I expected, I knew it was going to be tough, but I thought it was my time to shine, I think, in my head. And I was preparing myself for all the things that were to come. And when I got to New York, I realized, like, that's when I kind of went through a huge, like, depressive thing because you're going to these, your whole life is, you made this one thing and you got signed. And then there's a whole nother process of auditioning every day. Mm. So you're going to castings 2, 3, 4 times a day. You're broke as fuck and you live in a closet. And you share a bathroom with 3 other people and one's a guy. So his hair is everywhere. And the bathroom was so small. I had to like, you know.
The guy's hair is everywhere?
Yeah, I don't even know how that happens, but his hair was everywhere. And
the other way.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but you know, when, like, because I'm sharing a bathroom with someone. So I would always like clean up.
You're kind of neat.
Yeah, like. I can be messy when I'm by myself, but I don't know these people and I wasn't in a comfortable position. It's not like I was living with friends or anything.
Yeah.
By the way, if you live with a friend, you should be even more considerate than living with strangers. That's true. So I was just, you know, living that way and I was like, you know, it's all going to pay off. And then you go to a casting every day and you realize you're in a room with like the most beautiful, fit people that all kind of resemble you in a weird way. Because when you go to castings, I think now they're much more diverse, even in the last 2 years. But it used to be like Asian, 20 to 25, height, well, this requirement. So then the agencies all get that and they spread it to their girls that fit that category. So when you go to a casting, you walk in and there's like 40, 50 girls that are Asian or mixed.
Yeah.
From all over the world. Mm-hmm. So, and then you're just waiting your turn and you have your modeling book with you. And like, you're like constantly just like, damn, she's so pretty. Like, dang, she's tall. Like, dang, she's skinny. Like, what does she eat? Like, they're, you know, and all this stuff are like going through here. Like, dang, I should put more makeup on. But then they said no makeup. Like, what do they want from me? You know? So you're going through this like all day long.
Oh, it's no makeup.
Yeah, you can't wear makeup because you look so different than your photos.
Right.
So then it turns into who's prettiest without makeup on. And that's a whole nother thing that I think a lot of girls will relate to. But and then you go in and like let's say this is my book. And then you walk, finally it's your turn. You're like, all right, I got this. Like whatever thoughts I had, like I'm going to go in this and like kick ass.
No.
Go in the room. They don't even look at you. Like you give them your book, which has all your photos. And it's like this.
want to walk? And you walk. Thank you.
And then done.
So you don't know if you got it or not. Like, because sometimes I was like, damn, that fucking sucked. Like, I'm not going to get it. And then I would get a call back. And sometimes I'd be like, oh, like they were so nice. Because when I say nice, it's when they say like hello to you. Like, hi, how was your day? I'm like, oh my God, they care about me. Oh my God. Like, the bathroom's over there. Oh my God. Like, you know, manners. Like, but yeah, so that was a whole, and it took me a while to get used to that and not let it get in my head. But yeah, so that was a huge reality check for me in that world. Yeah.
Dang.
I would imagine New York or LA or anywhere in the States to be much more cutthroat.
Yeah.
Because in Korea, at least in the entertainment industry, since the world is so small out here, if you get big, chances are you're going to run into like the people that were in the process again. It's not that low of a chance. Yeah. You know what I mean? But say they treated you like shit. You meet them again. It's not going to be, hi, hello. Here's the bathroom. It's probably going to be like, you know, like you were a dick to me. Like, ass. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But in New York, I mean,
did you experience this?
No, not yet. Not yet. Because me, for the most part, even though they're dicks to me, I was still like hardworking, so they couldn't only be a dick to me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to like New York type audition stuff, I heard it's hella cutthroat out there.
Yeah. Like I don't want to talk down on it, but it is cutthroat. And if like you think about the casting directors or designers or whoever, that they see people like you all day long. So I get it. I mean, I wish they were nicer, but whatever, I get it. It's a job to them, and there's some things I don't think are right. Like, you know, you walk in an audition room, they're like, yeah, you need to lose weight, like in front of people. Like, I think, but things are changing, I heard. So through friends, things are changing and diversity and whether it's with race and weight and blah, blah, blah. That's also to check off boxes for them, but whatever, they're doing it. So that's great. But I would do it completely differently now.
All right, we have a user, CO1088, and the user asked, does moving back to my hometown make me a failure? I'm 24, married, about to start my last semester of graduate school, and I was born and raised in Tennessee as a husband.
She's married?
He is married.
Oh, he's married?
She's married.
She's 24 and about to start her last semester of graduate school. Yeah. I was born and raised in Tennessee, as is my husband. Oh. We moved to Colorado 2 weeks after getting married so I could attend a top 10 grad school program.
Sheesh.
It's been almost 2 years now and my husband is miserable here.
Oh no.
He lost his job here and got a new one he hates, has made few friends here, misses our families, and finds nothing enjoyable about Colorado. Mm. I love Colorado but have also made few friends and miss my family back home. Because he is so unhappy, we have talked and agreed together to move back to Tennessee, to the town where I went to college, about 30 minutes from our hometown. There's a lot I'm looking forward to: cheaper cost of living, a happy husband, good food, and being close to family. But at the same time, I'm incredibly depressed and have feelings of being a failure. You see, no one ever leaves my hometown. They grow up there, go to school close by, then go home to live there, work there, and raise all their children with their high school friends' children. I'm the only person I know who got farther than 6 to 7 hours away, and I feel like by moving back, I'm just like everyone else, a failure who couldn't make it outside of the bubble. Logically, I know doing this out of love for my husband, and practically, for example, a house in Tennessee versus Colorado is $100,000 cheaper.
Wow.
But I still feel like I'm admitting defeat by doing this. Is this all in my head or am I really a failure if I move back home?
Excuse me.
Hey. He didn't even let you finish. He's like, hold on.
No. Hold on a second. I really disagree with that phrase of, then I would be like everyone else.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Like, what is wrong? Like, you're married, okay? You're going there for your education. You're living your life, you know? And no one should judge you. And you shouldn't care about what other people, how they see you. You live your life, you know?
Right.
So I think too much… too much stress. Too much stress thinking about, oh, how are they gonna see me? How are they gonna think about me? You know, stop that. I mean, before that, get yourself… Come on, help me out here, bro.
You know what it sounds like?
Get yourself solid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's also sort of like an ego thing. Like, oh, I'm the first one to move out and stuff like that.
Right.
But that doesn't matter, man. It's
No, what does
unhappy.
It mean? What does it mean? What does it mean?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm the first one to move out 9 hours away. What does it mean?
Probably nothing. Feels like success. What? Like
it
I moved
mean.
To Jeju, though. What does it mean?
Nothing.
mean. I feel like this person right here, I can kind of resonate a little bit with this person because when I first left the States, the last thing I told all my close friends was, I'm gonna buy you a Rolex. We're gonna buy a mansion. We're gonna party for life when I'm back. And I think she's kind of scared to move back because she's afraid of having the image of failure.
Yeah.
But that… I feel like also she's on her quarter life crisis. Have you heard of quarter life crisis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
At some point of your life, you just run into that emehan timing.
Yeah, so you're just worried, so worried about the future that it gives you anxiety and like you're in a very, very rough place. Sometimes even depression. Mm-hmm. I feel like she could be in that state right now because she's exactly 24.
Yeah.
It's very natural for that to come around that age. And I feel like she also has a lot of weight on her shoulders being that she is married too and her husband is not really enjoying where they're at.
Mm.
And but at the end of the day, I feel like anyone who's been through that crisis before or just going through life that's been through a similar situation that feels the way you feel will tell you… Just take baby steps. You know what I mean? Don't look too far and don't really give a shit about what people are going to say to you when you're back. It doesn't make you a failure when you go back home.
Also,
you
know what I mean? What is their definition of failure? It's like just because they move back doesn't mean that they stop doing whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
I feel like failure is when you actually quit, you know?
Right.
But moving back isn't quitting. That's just another step in their life. It's for a better life.
Yo, people are going to say whatever they're going to say, you know? Like you can't control that. And you can't have everything you want, you know? Yeah. You can't have everything you want in life. Just set few targets or a few goals. Then think about you can't have like okay, your husband's not happy there. He's having like a miserable time over there. Okay, mm-hmm. That's one problem. And then what's the second problem?
Just the second
housing problem. And then the third problem is moving back because people think you came back, you're a fail. And then that's another problem, right? You got to give up one. You know, you can't have everything.
Yeah, you got to make a sacrifice.
Yeah.
Right.
My dad mentioned this to me because my parents are back in the States. And my parents haven't come back to Korea in 21 years now. Like never. And my parents still are working their asses off there. And my parents don't speak English. And I told my dad to come back to Korea because now that I'm here and I don't think I'm going to be moving back for a while. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, just come here. Like, I can help you and blah, blah, blah. But he said, I don't want to move back because like people are going to think I'm a failure. Because when you move to the States, I guess it's friends.
My mom say that too. Sometimes I said, mom, can you do something? So, no. Then everyone would think I'm this. I'm like, who's everyone? Tell me who is everyone? My relatives like, come on. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a thing I have with my parents too.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I was like, when you move to America, your friends think like, oh my God, he's successful. He must be living the life. But when he comes back, he's going to have to find a new job in Korea, which is hard to do at his age. Mm-hmm. And it's not like he has like so much money that he can come here and just buy a house. Yeah. And my parents are also separated. So I'm like, just come here and be with your family. Be with your mom and your brothers here in Korea. Because I feel like he'd be much happier here. But at the same time, he still worries about what other people will think. Because it's not like he made it and he came back able to support the rest of his family. He's going to have to come back and start fresh.
Right.
And I'm like, don't worry about that, you know. But at the same time, he has a lot of pride too. So I'm just like, okay, I guess
The thing is, you really got to know what makes you truly happy. Mm-hmm. You know, like not how other people judge and view you.
Mm.
You know, I really… Honestly, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a perfect way to wrap up the show, bro. Like don't really…
We're not gonna wrap up anything.
But. Yeah. Wait, one? Episode two. We're gonna. We'll see you guys in a minute. Yeah, like Jackson was saying, you know, don't let other people's views really dictate how you move and you maneuver through life. That can put you in a huge hindrance and stop you from making bigger moves. So, you know, do you and don't really care.
And like your husband's gonna be happier and your marriage is probably gonna be happier.
Yo.
So you're gonna be happier in the end. Yeah. And you're close to family. That gives you so much support, like mentally, more than you know, like mentally and emotionally. So in the end, you might be happier. You just don't know. You just have a lot of fear right now.
It's even more sad to gossip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you really have nothing to do to gossip. Like usually people gather around, they have a drink. What do? Most of the time they gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's sad to gossip. I would just say that. Mm. And so don't really care about how other people judge you. And just focus on your root. Yeah.
What do you think the main reason behind all this hate is?
Jealousy.
Jealousy?
Yeah, and they're just not satisfied with their own lives.
Right. And if you see their post, like once in a while, you're kind of curious who this person is. Mm-hmm. And you go… Like there's so many on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to this account and see what they posted about. Dude, they post like 2 to 3 comments in like 5 minutes the whole day. So everything they do is just like literally…
Mm. Mm.
So it could be…
And then it's just like… Sorry. Was that hate?
I think you hated the haters.
Haters got… What,
it's all good.
You know, I feel like hate begets more hate. So, you know, I feel like it could come from also past experiences as well.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were bullied so they feel the need to…
Vent
it somewhere or something.
I'm not the only one who's going to be bullied today. So I'm going to bully them back. You know, and that's almost natural for a human being to, you know.
I mean, giving opinions and hate is really different.
Yeah, like constructive criticism is fine.
Constructive criticism is fine.
Yeah, but there's a lot of sarcasm on Instagram and social media these days. Have you guys noticed that? Like, I'll see conversations between fans.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just tell by the text and the context that they're being sarcastic. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like that. Nah, you look so good. Like, what, with an emoji where it's like, yeah. And then someone would be like, and then someone would comment under and be like, dude, why are you hating on him? Why are you being so sarcastic? Everyone could tell you're being sarcastic. And then it'd be like, what do you mean? I'm just complimenting them. Yeah. Why are you so uptight? And then that would be a whole crazy ass conversation. I'd be like,
right. Stop. Guys, stop. Chill. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. And be honest. You were sarcastic, you know?
It's emoji.
Say it right now.
The emoji was sarcastic.
Yeah. You know, there'd be… Like, that was a horrible example. But there's a lot of stuff that I see online.
But the hate comments that I want to, like, really bring out is just literally hate on people with no reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just hate them because you just hate them.
Yeah.
And that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I hate her because… Hater, like literally, that's what they're yelling about, right? That's the thing that needs to stop.
Everyone's always trying to bring other people down, especially when they start doing well, because they're like jealous, because they're not happy where they are. They're like, I'm still living this kind of life. Like, why is this person, you know, getting famous and getting rich? Yeah. And they just want to drag him down.
That's
I think it's some much. Part that I don't really connect with that emotion, because it's really, isn't it really hard to feel that way? To be jealous and like. Spreading out rumors you're jealous of someone?
For normal people, I think, yeah. But
and you wouldn't be able to admit it too. Like if it comes from a jealous place, usually people that are jealous never admit that they're jealous. And become very defensive about it if you ever bring that up to them.
But is there any hate comments that you remember? Like it was so like harsh or it was so stupid. Unforgettable or stupid that you cannot forget.
Nothing like personal to me, but there are just fucked up comments, like, about, for me, like, the accident, like, bringing that up.
Damn.
Like, that's…
Damn, that's heavy.
That's, yeah, that's when I'm like…
You gotta… That's you got mental problems.
But that. They'll just… Yeah, I can't even say it. Yeah. It's just really messed up.
Hey, you got mental problems if you… If you're talking about stuff like that, that's tragedy that you…
Just think that… I mean, that you're… Okay, never mind. I'm gonna put that. That's just. Yeah.
I think when I was younger, I was so my self-esteem was really low, and I had no self-confidence. So when I was bullied, and when people would hate me or whatever, it would affect me a lot. And I would try so hard to, you know, regain their
trust and everything.
Yeah, for them to like me. But now, because I know who my true friends are, and I know that I have people that love me. Like, even if I read the hate comments, I'm just like, okay, you're sad. Like, I feel sorry for you. But that's it. It's not like I'll cry to myself every day thinking about it. But I know it affects some people a lot.
A lot. Mm-hmm. Some people, it's…
Because who comes up to you and hate? No. Right? Yeah. Normally, they wouldn't. But then it's just because SNS, because you don't know someone. Yeah. They would just do it really like a trend or something.
Yeah.
Just go on there and write hate comments and just get a lot of likes. And those hate comments get likes. I don't understand.
Oh,
is it? Are you agreeing to that comment to hate on someone? Which is pathetic.
I don't know how true this is, but I heard that a lot of the accounts that are hating, they have two accounts. And like one account…
Yeah, the private one.
One account, they'll be like… Oh my gosh, like, you're so good looking, Matthew. And then the next one, they'll be like, why the fuck all your pictures half naked? Like, put some clothes. It's like, but it's the same person.
Yeah, I've heard of that too.
So I was like,
really?
Not, sometimes more accounts.
Are
five,
they having
six,
fun?
Seven.
They have like multiple accounts. I was like, I don't know.
Can create personality disorders. You know?
I think it could. Yeah. But I heard there's like people that like one account, they're like showering whoever they're commenting on with like love, and then the other one it's like all hate.
Yeah, that's…
I was like, what the…
So like, I think they hate first, and then to make them feel better, they go to this good one, and then
that's like
spreading love, which is f***ing…
That's gonna create disorders.
I think so. Have you guys ever been able to confront a hater?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like in person or online?
Oh.
I mean, either one.
I kind of went about it the wrong way.
Why?
Oh. What do you mean?
I felt so bad. So there was one time where someone posted something on Twitter saying something along the lines of like, imagine being a card and then flopping or something like that, right? And I was like, I don't know why. I was in a very motivated and passionate state of mind at the time. So I was like, ooh, wait till you know what I mean? Like, wait till you see the next song. Wait till you see like, oh, this stuff I'm cooking up and grinding for right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that post and I reposted it on my Instagram.
Oh, that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. And see, what I didn't realize at the time, because I was so in my head and like kind of almost in my ego too.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't blur out her ID name. Uh-huh. So what my fans did, they all attacked her.
Oh.
I didn't realize at the time that would be like that. And it comes to show, I figured out she's a really, really young girl just on Twitter. Just, you know what I mean? And I was just like, oh my gosh. That was like a horrible thing. I was in my head. You know, I didn't really know. I would also like to apologize to you. The owner of that account, I'm really sorry that you had to be attacked like that. And to all the Hidden Card fans, all the fans, anything like that, you don't need to fight with other fan bases and stuff like that. Let's keep the peace.
Yes.
Let's keep the peace. I kind of have a different reason for that. It's because they write about you.
Yeah.
And actually, that person tagged me on her hate comment.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So she or he or that person literally wanted me to see that comment.
Yeah.
And… Right. Which was kind of, wow, like, you know, brave. But at the same time, I was emotional too.
Yeah.
If I was in a good mood or if it was something, I would just…
Whatever.
You know, whatever and swipe it up. But I don't know that what caught me in this emotion was like… It was piling up inside of me.
Yeah.
And then it just bursted out and I couldn't handle it. So I just retweeted her or his tweet too. And then, yes, my fans were… mad about the comment. But at the same time, if you can't
you know, handle what you wrote. Mm-hmm. Why post it at the first time?
True. Like, back up what you say and be responsible.
Yeah.
Responsibility for your words and actions is
and there are things like, because you're a celebrity, you should take the hate too. Yeah. But I don't think that is exactly what we do to actually understand all the hates. Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of different.
Yeah. I think we have a better understanding now.
Now.
Because… obviously, me and you, we've been through those experiences.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we're all still human.
Right. You know
what I mean? We're all still… yeah. We all still hurt too. We all still can take stuff personally. So, just like anyone else in the world, you know? So…